Hello, everybody. It's Holger Müller here from Constellation Research, here with my partner in crime for our quarterly SAP review, Martin. Hi, Martin. How are you doing?
Hi, Holger. Thanks. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Very good. In really tempered Germany, try to localize my background a little bit, close to Waldorf, but not in Waldorf. So I don't always virtual background. Yours looks very real, I think.
Yeah. You get used to the German weather, which is not that good today. You might hear the raindrops on my window.
By the way, two weeks and I'm getting depressed. So yeah, some more coffee.
Just a remark to your background picture. That's more or less a historical picture. Did you see WDF1 in the last weeks or month?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I know it's construction. Last time in September, when I was there to meet with some SAP executives, we were meeting in the Landesgesellschaft thing. And we already had this problem here with the super lag. So I'm going to do the trick one more time of removing me from the stream. But keep talking. What are we going to talk about, right? So let's see.
Yeah. A lot to catch up. We talked last time in August. SAP TechEd happened, and there was also the DSAG annual conference, the so-called Jahreskongress. And I think there are plenty of topics to cover. A lot of technical news, around SAP TechEd, and also some more, topics on the meta level in general, I think.
All right, what do we start with? What's out first?
Let's start with TechEd, I think. That's my home turf. Have you been to Bangalore?
No, I didn't make it to Bangalore, right? Interesting choice. I think ultimately didn't hurt SAP too much. It was kind of like weird. It was in the middle of the night to listen to me, to the keynotes then. But I think a lot of developers are in India, and I think it's good to make that focus to do something there. I'm not sure if they had the developer audience. It would look more like a middle manager, developer manager audience from the screens they showed. But at the end of the day, it was highly discussed, right? Why not have something here? Why not have something there? I think it's time to show something that SAP is also working in other places where there's talent. But on the flip side, you know, what does it mean for the Europeans? Were the Europeans disappointed?
What I hear, yes. And I was also disappointed. And for me, it's not the question if there should be a TechEd in Bangalore or India or not. Of course, it should. There is the biggest SAP-related workforce on the planet. That's a given. And of course, those people also need the education and the news. So the first thing which comes into my mind is that there is for 5 years there was no European TechEd, so the European SAP community is missing the connection, the tech community. I mean, there are more and more local national events in Germany and all the other countries that's replacing them to some extent. But the international connection is missing, and I'm quite sure it will not be as it used to be.
Yeah. I didn't know that there's been no TechEd in person since 5 years.
Yeah, the last one was in 2019, then was COVID, yeah, and then was COVID, okay. US, and then was Bangalore. So now next year it's 5 years.
They say it's going to be next year in Europe, or?
No, they announced just that there will be a TechEd in fall 2024. I don't have more details. I hear from time to time, but that's not even rumors, I would say, that might come back to Europe, but don't have any details there. But there's one fact which bothers me a bit more than community connecting at these events, and that's actually the contact for all the SAP developers to customers and partners, because at least from my understanding, that's very limited right now. There are still since years there are already travel restrictions in place for SAP employees. It's even hard for them to get at local events, and for sure it's even harder for them to go to an international or an event in, like in India. And I think that's an issue for the development. I think that's proven that software developers should understand the customer's needs. And that's very hard if you never meet a customer. And
Yeah, I think you make a great point. And sorry, my live video editing skills are not that good. This weather was a black screen. Sorry for that.
Talking.
Everybody listens to the podcast, right? Nobody listens to the video because we're not that handsome anyway. But yeah, I think the sad part in it is that SAP used to have a yearly event, and only because you did do this in the past, you don't have to do it in the future. However, they have their Sapphires as physical events for customers there. And I mean, 2 years ago, Christian Klein said, we can't build everything ourselves. Customers have to build something. Partners have to build something. And these are the key events. And often you cancel live events, or you're happy to cancel live events as a vendor when there's nothing to say, right? Why bring people together just to collectively multiply the disappointment? But SAP had a lot of things to say at the Sapphire. So this is why lack of innovation definitely can't be the motivator. So I think it will be good for SAP to bring back TechEd as the developer event, as building things gets more important. BTP is more central to strategy, to fill holes, to get things. I mean, SAP, we'll talk about this later, right? It's an upgrade challenge because functionality is missing and you don't have a developer conference. And I think the local events are also good. But I mean, the multiplier effect, the getting to know more people, the networking is, of course, limited if you only have, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 regional events in Europe. So
yeah, the regional events are usually not hosted by SAP, and there are not that many SAP employees. So you meet always the same people who have the outreach there. And I think that's an issue to some extent. Yeah. And so
let's cover the big news, right, of TechEd.
Yeah, the big news. Of course,
you have a name for AI. It's 2023, and SAP names the AI after energy consumption.
Yeah. that's an interesting one. Yeah. So you're talking about Joule, SAP's AI assistant. I'm not 100% sure if it's already available for customers. As far as I know, not really.
Gradually in controlled release, I think, and coming GA around the next 4 months or so. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, for me it was more interesting that the thing underneath. So mm-hmm. Let's dig a bit deeper. Yeah. That's a vector engine for the HANA database or for HANA Cloud in Yen. Which is, if you are not too familiar with AI, actually the kind of the database capabilities you need to give your AI query a bit more context, where you can put in your own data sources in and stuff like
that. Right. Well, this is why the vectors are back, right? And the problem there is that the transformer model, right, the underlying algorithm behind all the hype and possibility in generative AI is only made for document style data, not for transactional data, right? So if you think we've seen too much hype already, then wait till somebody gets ready to insert transactional data, right? That's the important data of an enterprise, the system of record data into the AI. And one way of doing that right now is, like we said, and this is why everybody in databases has announced vector databases or vector capabilities, because those vectors can be traversed by the transformer algorithm from some generative AI. So that's a way to insert transactional data into your large language models. So this is why it's so important and was a must-have, must-do thing. Would have been bad news for HANA if we wouldn't have gotten the vector database, because it means there's no way to get the HANA content out there. And people who are at the cutting, bleeding edge, they might have even taunted out for that to have that capability. Right? So there's other ways of doing it, of course, which you could have done, right? Vocabulizing the data, right? Making sentence out of the data, like sort of seeing like three fields, you're saying like Holger bought from Martin on the 31st of October last year, right? So, but it's tricky. It's brute force part of this one. Other people are inserting code which queries databases, which is another way of doing it, right? So like give me my last orders of this month, and then there's code behind that which the LLM finds, and then you have to pick it up and execute it. All still tricky. The big thing to watch on generative AI is when somebody bridges the gap between document information, document-centric information, and transactional data. We'll see that. But very important announcement, no question.
Yeah.
Of course, AI comes for developers to the development thing. I think SAP did a good job of not scaring developers, which is always the question, right? Will they go after my job? Blah, blah, blah. Right? The same concern that was ever built last year, but I mean, that's a necessity. And I think that fear is largely gone because SAP was late in the calendar year. Bad luck from the timing of TechEd, right? Everybody expected that to be there and nobody was afraid anymore.
Yeah. From what I can say. Yeah, and the announcement behind what you're talking right now is the product or the service called Build Code, which is in the end, SAP's answer to AI-assisted software development, I would call it. Hard to judge yet because I didn't touch it. Sounds promising. But on the other hand, every vendor does it right now. So you need to be part of the game right now.
No need to be careful with developers about it, right?
Yeah.
What else from TechEd? What else stood out? I mean, came at the end, right?
Pardon me?
The big thing came at the end, right? So most SAP code is still in ABAP, like it or not like it, right? So the AI ABAP thing was, I think, a big announcement, an important announcement, yeah.
Yeah, that was also a big announcement. And that's, I think, you should not underestimate the effort SAP needs to put into this because, of course, it makes only sense if the AI does the proper ABAP, the state-of-the-art ABAP from now, meaning the so-called RESTful application programming model. And that's way different to all the Wild West ABAP we had in recent years out there. And therefore, SAP, I think, has a hard job to train the model in the end, because I think the code base is quite limited with which they can feed the AI model in the end.
That's a great point, right? But I think, I mean, if IBM can use AI to transform and modernize COBOL code, right, ABAP with its legacy into COBOL, right, SAP should be able to find ways to generate ABAP code and especially help, which we'll talk about later, right, with the upgrade challenge to move older code from ECC into an S4HANA way, right? There has to be a programmatic way. I don't think you'll get there 100%, but if you get there, you should be able to get there in the 90s. I mean, that's what IBM claims for COBOL. So let's get going on that SAP, in my view. Right? It could be a big solution to a bigger problem. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. Maybe it's it's kind of even a segue already to another topic we have on our list today. We talked about that in our last podcast in August already, the whole RISE announcement during the Q2 earning calls in summer. And there was a press release from DSHE afterwards. And since then, at least to some extent, the discussions didn't stop. On the other hand, I personally must say that I would have or that I was expecting a bigger discussion than we actually experience right now. I personally think many customers didn't fully understand what SAP is offering there already, or what that means for them.
Yeah, not surprisingly, right? If every year you come up with a new initiative and a new part, you kind of like confuse customers, right? So it was RISE, this year it's GROW. Right, different packaging, different bundling. It doesn't help with clarity. And then, of course, SAP is always big at announcing these things. And then the whole financial analyst community is there and goes into the earnings calls. And at the core, in my view, Martin, the problem is SAP has not solved the value creation problem of an upgrade. Right, people will upgrade if they clearly see this is better. Right, and I always use the R2 to R3 upgrade in the past. Right, I mean, enterprise literally couldn't wait to get rid of mainframe-based systems and push those client-server systems out into the subsidiaries in different countries, make them own the implementation, fate, their destiny, basically. A huge simplification, lower costs, was a no-brainer. And that was all hardware, right? So the question is now, can the cloud-based system be enough from a hardware perspective, which obviously is not, because otherwise SAP customers would be yelling, when will you have all the same functionality in S4? And we're in this strange situation that customers are not forcing SAP to come to functional equivalency, and SAP is slow at providing differentiators to make it really, really compelling to move that. But what's your view?
Yeah, I think we might have covered that in our last episode already. I think it's still very hard to do a positive business case on the S4HANA implementation. That's also due to the fact of the weight of all the legacy implementations. I think it's also important to differentiate what we are talking about. Are we really talking about a cloud ERP? For my understanding, we are not, because we are talking about a private cloud system managed by SAP running on a hyperscaler, which is, of course, you move the licensing to a subscription-based model. That's something the financial analysts are looking into, and that's why SAP is pushing so hard, I think. Then we have that, now we have that RISE premium offering, which they put or they announced the price tag before they announced the features, and there I definitely have a problem with the messaging, to be very open and clear about that. You can't just announce a price tag without even giving an idea of what's in there. And that's something which annoyed the customer base.
Why does it annoy customers? Because it looks like SAP tried to put a price tag up there. Then customers were saying, this doesn't make sense. And then they tried to make it better by saying, oh, there's more value in there, right? It should be the other way around. As a software vendor, as any person selling, you show the value, then we have a price conversation. Not, you know, this is the price, and then we add up more things to create more value in it, right? So that was really not done well.
Worse, they first said you are kind of cut off the most recent innovations if you are not a RISE customer, even though, and especially the early S4 customers who had probably a very painful transformation to the S4 system are now the ones who are kind of left behind. We'll come back to that phrase later. They are told now, okay, you are not right. You are not a RISE customer right now, so you will not be able to get that innovations in the end. And sorry, I don't see a technical reason for that. It's it's only a commercial reason for this decision, even with the AI stuff. Okay, there's the argument that the data are not clean enough for AI. But I mean, in the end, that would be something a customer could experience if the AI support does not work because of the data quality of the customer. That would be a valid reason for the customer to move to the cloud. But then it's the customer's decision, and not SAP forcing the customers.
Yeah, great point. And fortunately for those watching the video, I have this lag again, but that's fine.
I try to keep talking if you are.
Yeah, walk through it, yeah. No, okay. I mean, the interesting thing is how SAP struggles on the value side. To be fair, many of the things which they want to do and they have to build and they have to provide value around Joule or generative AI, they really have to run the cloud because no customer's going to buy that. So I think they have a second chance with RISE to a certain point to justify why you can only do this in the public cloud. And by the way, the whole conversation of managed in the private cloud, public cloud, it doesn't matter. If that definition would matter, both Salesforce and Workday would not be cloud companies. So I think SAP is shooting itself in the foot too much by being too honest or too transparent, because the value for the customer in a private cloud, as long as they don't pay for dedicated instances, is that they also have the commercial elasticity. They don't use it, and they don't have to pay for it, right? And that's what matters, right? That's what everybody learned during the pandemic. I only want to pay for my IT when I use my IT and not when I don't use it, because everybody is at home or have different workloads, right? So I think there's some case to be made from SAP that for getting to AI, you need to be in the public cloud. What is lacking again is the value of the dual use cases, which are only coming out now. And hopefully for the whole ecosystem, they will be successful, because SAP customers need innovation and they need AI-based innovation. And hopefully it's going to work for them. Yeah. So keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, fully agree. And I think going forward and looking into the future, and I'm not talking about the next 2 years, but even more, I think the future must be somewhere cloudy, because for customers, innovation need to be there faster. We can't wait for 5 years upgrade cycles on ERP systems. SAP has a point there, that, to make that very clear. I'm not saying that the cloud story of SAP is wrong, but they need to do a better job in making the values clearer for the customers and the advantages they get. And right now I don't like that forcing approach they started to do in summer. And that's also not to forget about the partners. Many partners who are in the service management, managed service space, got hit in the face by that announcement, because some of them were already or are still providing managed cloud offerings for customers running their SAP systems on one of the hyperscaler infrastructures. And they are now at the dead end to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point too, right? So it was done hastily, it was done quickly, and whatever damage was done now. Now really the point is to see what can SAP do. And the whole, we keep talking about values, sound like a broken record, right? It's not only about communicating value better, but it's also about creating of value. And hopefully the AI part, I mean, there was a lot of hope around the process mining acquisition of Signavio. I am not hearing much about that, right? I was always skeptical of this because I'm an ERP system anyway. And now I have to buy a third-party thing for you to, as a customer, to figure out what's in the system. That's something broken anyway in earlier phase of it, that you need a third-party tool to tell you what's in your system. So kind of like feel vindicated about not much noise being done around Signavio. But even that also, how much process mining do you want to do, is a thing which every customer will decide for themselves and will not buy hardware locally. So it's a thing which also runs in the cloud. But again, like we said, SAP has to create the value and then talk about the value. Cool. What else do we have? Did we forget something? Anything you want to add?
Just one thing I want to add, and I learned about that also just a couple of weeks ago. There's a more detailed messaging about the whole RISE offering, which is called Case for Cloud. So you might Google for it and find it. I will put a link into the show notes as well, where they have very detailed information about certain topics, like, for example, what they understand about the whole clean core story, what's behind it, why they recommend that. That's a missing piece, and that's I think it's good that it's there. I heard, I also didn't know that it was there even before the Q2 earnings call, but was not too public, I would say.
Yeah, very, very interesting. I've been Googling it, and it looks like it's also a partner event. Like there was a Case for Cloud event October 24th. So,
yeah. Right, there was a webinar.
Again, SAP, I mean, to be fair, right? You announce something as a vendor, you do something as a vendor, and then you react on it and you listen to customers. So to a certain point, you could also make the case that SAP is reacting so much and doing so many things is a sign of them really listening well to their customers. But it's also a sign of the problem that 2027 as a deadline looms. Last time I spoke to Christian Klein, Thomas Sauer, I said it's a hard deadline. We all know it's not going to work because large customers haven't started moving and they need at least 5 years to do that, maybe even longer. So as 2027 gets less credible to be achieved, we'll see the howling at the SAP user conferences, and we'll see if the extension is there. And SAP, as a vendor, wouldn't like to see that extension because you don't want to support these code bases, which costs SAP really a lot of developer capacity. and redundant work, right, which you have to do twice in S4HANA and in the ECC, whatever code base. So the sooner SAP can move there, the better for SAP and ultimately also for their customers. So we will see how 2027 will go.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I I'm with you about the cost maintaining all the different versions out there. That's for sure a big problem for SAP. But on the other hand, if you have a look into the industry solution space, I have the feeling that SAP is having a hard time to meet their own deadline in the end to deliver customers the feature parity they are looking for with their industry cloud solutions. I was attending a retail conference, a retail forum hosted by a partner, Retail Solutions, in October, and there was we have customers on stage saying clearly, okay, we don't question the move to the cloud, but if we want to go there, we need the features we are depending on, and now we are kind of in a bad situation because the maintenance for our on-prem solution is running out. We don't have an equivalent in the cloud yet. So also,
and that is outright dangerous, right? Because if customers feel left alone, they look for alternatives. And re-implementation is re-implementation. It's expensive. So why not look, or at least for commercial reasons, look for other vendors who could help them? But luckily for SAP, there's no really super, super strong competitor, right? So otherwise, we would already hearing like, why is A taking away so much SAP business? Why is B taking away SAP business? And that help on one side helps. On the other side, doesn't help Christian Klein, Thomas Auerzig, Jürgen Müller to create the urgency in the troops to get more done and with less people in less time, which is really a developer productivity issue. It's super interesting for me to see. Cool. Anything else we have?
Yeah, as we covered the RISE topic, I think it's also worth to speak for a minute about the DSAG annual conference. Christian and Thomas Sauer as they were on stage.
Kudos for both of them showing up, right? Usually they tech team, right? Only one showing up, so they understand the urgency. So yeah, good to see the customers, right? The users.
Yeah, they also said we are listening, but they didn't move 1 millimeter from their positions in the end. Was a bit interesting.
Listening doesn't mean action, right?
Yeah, right. Christian said
listening and understanding, right? So yeah.
Yeah, maybe they even understand it, but there might be other forces for them. I don't know. Maybe I can't judge on the pressure from the financial market. But what Christian Klein said, not only one time, no customer will be left alone during his keynote. But I don't know what this means in this case.
Yeah. Well, the customer will sort it out. I think that's something for them to fill out again, right? I mean, you can only look at the industry, right? I mean, the key competitor for SAP is Oracle, right? And Oracle has a massive upgrade challenge historically at the hands of the acquisition of PeopleSoft, of JD Edwards, of Siebel. And they made a stroke of genius to temper that argument, right? They call it Oracle Apps Unlimited, and this means there's maintenance for all these products with no end of maintenance. And even 2023, I follow the HCM market, there's PeopleSoft customers who re-implement PeopleSoft because there's the best fit, say, in healthcare, in higher education. Of course, hosted somewhere, taking advantage of the cloud, but still the old code. Right? So that took a lot of pressure from not building everything and everything that's needed into Fusion. And it gave the customers a lifeline, and they pay maintenance for it. They pay more maintenance for it than 20 years ago and 10 years ago, but they seem to still be able to make the business case, right? So maybe SAP can take a look at how Oracle's done that. Yeah. But who knows?
Yeah, we will see. Next topic on my list. We didn't talk about that in our short preparation conversation. SAP also did an acquisition, LeanIX.
Don't tell people that we prepare. We don't prepare. We don't believe in
preparation. Yeah, 5 minutes.
Yeah. Tell us about the acquisition, Martin.
Lina X is a enterprise architecture tool, I would say. They are a German-based company. I never worked with it. They were very present already before the acquisition in the SAP ecospace. They're one of their main USP, if you follow their messaging, is the ease of use, so the user experience, usability stuff, where you can actually, in the end, just create maps of your whole enterprise application landscape, not only for SAP stuff. And with that, having the overview about what applications do you have for which business case or which business use case in the end, what amount of licensing subscriptions you are paying for, you get kind of an inventory about all your applications running within the enterprise. And it's expected, or I'm not sure if it's already in part of RISE, but it's expected at least to get bundled with Signavio being one of the tools for the S/4HANA transformation for the customers coming with the RISE bundle.
Yeah, very, very interesting to see, right? SAP buying basically an IT services licensing cost company, right? Why would you want to do this, right? Because you might unearth license costs which have not been foreseen, which is basically the pitch of these vendors before. So I think to a certain point, it's interesting to see that Sware, it can be added to Signavio. The real value will be, which SAP hasn't stated, and I can't put words into their mouth, right? If there's any programmatic way of then using this, not just for using displaying this, right? I mean, like on the AP side, we have the same thing, right? Remember IDS, Professor Scheer, great processes, but then how do you implement it? Where's the real stuff? And now with generative AI, there might be the shot for not just figuring out which systems you have, which license you pay. Not saying that then your purchasing system should contact the Microsoft purchasing system and say, hey, we're over-provisioned, we should get less or something. That's the future, potentially. But hey, SAP has the option for that. But it would be great if there's some ways to understand, because SAP deployments were fairly, as you better know than me, governed by solution manager and best practice and how many systems you should have. There could be some help for customers to make it easier for them to go to S/4HANA. That would be my hope of the Linux acquisition.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to integrate it to some extent with the successor of, or to some extent successor of Solution Manager Cloud ALM, so the cloud product for application landscape management from SAP. I think an integration is kind of needed there. Doesn't make much sense for me, at least.
Cool. So, what else?
Yeah, I have the Q3 earnings.
Yeah. I mean, solid earnings. Could have been better. Could have been worse. I think SAP is moving in the right direction, but not moving fast enough, right? Keeping in mind that 2027 is deadline and customers should be on S/4HANA, right? So, and let's see what the financial analysts make out of that.
Yeah, what's probably very related to the Q3 earnings is the current share price, which is for me a real surprise. I didn't check today, but I think yesterday it was all-time high around 145 euros in Germany. So, maybe I'm too far away from the stock market, but I don't really get what changed over summer or since August there that the shares are going up that fast. So any thoughts about that, Holger?
No idea. I'm not a financial analyst. I think it's the result was better than expected, right? I mean, I just looked up revenue rose 16%, right? So Oracle's revenue rose 55%. So SAP is doing relatively well. Now, they're two very different animals. There's much more tech and other parts in there. So I think that's being honored, put in the value of the markets, right? So SAP has to have a strong Q4, their most important quarter, which is going on, more than two-thirds over because of Christmas time. So It's going to be interesting if SAP can close the year strong, right? So we'll know in February.
They will, I'm quite sure. As usual, SAP's field is doing a good job end of the year. So that's my guess, at least. Yeah. Maybe we can also talk about some conferences which we didn't cover yet. So I was always also traveling a lot in this fall. I was attending for the first time an SAP Insider event. I was at the EMEA event in Copenhagen. Was very interesting for me. I would not say that it's the conference the go-to thing, because I think that kind of conference is a bit missing the focus topic, because it's all over the place, just everything SAP, from hardcore ABAP development to whatever.
I've done Insider when you go there. You can be an Insider for like a service and offering. Yeah.
That's a very interesting business model.
But I think it serves an important function, right? Because you have the SAP events, you have the user group events. And it's kind of like an attempt to bring together people in a third kind of like event type, which I think can be important because there's room to experiment and really follow what customers really want to do. And has a commercial purpose, right? Because what happens at SAP events, obviously what SAP wants to talk about. At SAP Insight, they do it right. It's what makes people come to the event all about. Yeah,
it's also interesting. Last year, they were in Vienna. I've heard that it wasn't that good. This year, it was in Copenhagen. We were also the first time there as Neptune Software. In my view, it was a success, especially because there were many rather local customers and attendees there. So the whole Nordics companies were very present there. That was very interesting to see. And I think in Vienna they had the issue that it's I would call it DSAG land in the end, because Vienna is German speaking, so people are going to the
events, right? But the value proposition is the same to a certain point, absolutely right. But the user groups are less strong in Scandinavia in general. So I think locations matters for events. So, but good to see it was a success.
And so user group events. ASAC also filled the gap in the US. They had their first ASAC Tech Connect the week after, right after TechEd, in New Orleans. So I've heard there was a lot of traveling for some of the SAP managers, including Jürgen Müller, because he was attending both events. So flying from Germany to Bangalore to New Orleans is a bit challenging, I think.
Well, being a global executive means global travel. So
that's true.
I think it's pretty close. I think they copied what SAP did with Sapphire back to back, which I didn't like because there's new content. And I think SAP in general, like resume on day events, is not treating their European customer base really well, right? I mean, didn't even know 4 years of no tech at over a year. The Sapphire was basically, I wasn't the Sapphire, I couldn't make the US one, right? So it was basically a remake of Orlando. Including like people who were live in Orlando were in video in Barcelona. So I think that's not good. And I think it doesn't help ASAC either to have the event 1 week later. Right. So, but okay.
Yeah. But by the way, the same setup for Sapphire next year.
I know. They're making the same mistake from my perspective again. So,
I fully agree. And it's invitation only again, was the same last year in Barcelona and in...
Okay. So, it was very small in Barcelona. Yeah, sure.
So you can't even buy a ticket for it. So you need to get invited, which also limits the feedback you get, which brings me back to my earlier point today.
I didn't know that. I don't know if the US was also invite only or if you could just register. That's interesting. But this, like, it shows some insecurity from the SAP side to do that, right? So... But anyway, I mean, anybody can buy tickets to companies, and the companies at their discretion not to have them go, right? So totally fine, right? So might not make a big difference at the end of the day. Yeah. Cool. Any other important events?
Yeah, if you've been to events, I think you were or
No, good point, right? From the SAP side, interesting was SAP Success Connect, SuccessFactors user conference. It was well attended. It was interesting. It was in parallel to another key HCM in the civilians conference. So I was jetsing back and forward across the Las Vegas Strip. It was interesting because SuccessFactors was still headless in the sense that there was no head of SuccessFactors. They were still looking for someone, but that position has filled by Dan Beck, who's a Workday veteran and worked in the Workday ecosystem at Utmost. So I know him pretty well. So it's going to be interesting how he can change SuccessFactors, right? It's interesting that with him and Amy Wills, there's two key SuccessFactors, former Workday people now at SAP SuccessFactors. They didn't have too many new things to announce, but I think it was a good conference, also customers coming together. And people were happy with it. So that's good. It was more content. There were very thin, very lean Success Connects in the past where there was basically only just a mobile version. Obviously, they had more to show and say, right? Joule could kind of like get a pre-release. All these generative AI things are super important to bring together complexity of HR for employee self-service and vendor self-service so they could preview some of the things that were kind of like hampered by being closed like 1 week or 2 weeks before TechEd. But yeah, overall, I think it was a good show.
No, okay. So conferences are going on. The new year.
Oh, they're finally done. They're finally done. No more conferences in 2023.
Yeah, not in 2023, but 2024 kind of starts already with a conference because DSHC Technology Days are quite early this year. First week of February in Hamburg with day three extension, which is called Tech Exchange, which will be they focused on hands-on experience because, yeah, the feedback was we would like to have more hands-on experience at the DSHE Technology Days, and that they were listening. So
that's great news. I always like when customers and vendors listen and even take action, right? Like we said before, it's not enough to listen to rise customers, sets of customers rise, do something about it. Well, at least they do something for, what was it, Technology Days?
It's Technology Days, yeah. And there's a day three extension, which is called Tech Exchange. And you need to buy an additional ticket for the day three, and it will be a bit smaller. It's a kind of a, the announcement was just announced first time that it takes place. So also make experience for the event organizers and have a look into the way forward.
Good.
Before we close, I just have a question. I'm a bit sad that the good old social media bubble on the thing which was formerly called Twitter is kind of vanished, at least in Germany. What is the go-to social network in the US?
That's a great question. And there's certainly less things happening on Twitter or X than before. From my experience, it's still Twitter and X very much, right? If you look at as an event in the tech industry, the whole boardroom dynamics happening in OpenAI, everything happened on Twitter, right?
I mean, that's true.
Whatever the board members tweeted, whatever Sam Altman tweeted, I mean, and there's no alternative, right? I mean, the big news is, right, what was the Meta alternative to it, the Twitter killer? Yeah. I forgot. Threads, right? So I didn't even know I was in Europe and I had a Threads account in the US and I got locked out of it because I opened it in Switzerland because it's not available. Right? How can you be better to a global social media thing? But just Threads became locally available, but nobody is on Threads really. So I think it is unfortunate. I always say bits and bytes know no politics, right? I shouldn't know no politics, right? So I mean, if a good solution has functionality or not. And the whole OpenAI story again showed what value Twitter has. And if you look around events, because local, I followed the Las Vegas Grand Prix. I mean, it was all happening on Twitter, right? So when you look at soccer games, I mean, there's no loss of real-time tweeting on the on soccer games and discussions as much as we can do watching a live event. So from the US perspective, yes, there's lots of complaining about it, but at the end of the day, like the advertisers, they use a great excuse to cut their marketing budget because it's laudable. I'm not going there because something happened. And similarly, hey, I have to tweet less. I can go back to my old ways. But for me, I mean, my way of working is lots of tweets because my notes are on Twitter. It's an awesome notes-taking tool. It doesn't matter if Elon Musk owns or whoever owns it. If it just keeps working, which it does, I think it's the tool to go and tool to be. There's nobody better out there. But hey, it's open for anybody doing something better. And I give kudos to Facebook Meta to try, but obviously they're falling short right now.
Yeah, Threat, I hear rumors at least that it will be available before Christmas in Europe as well.
It is available. No, it came this week or last week already. Threads is available. Yeah. So,
okay.
I tried to go on my Threads account right now, but I'm kind of like not sure if I got back to it because I was banned for illegally using it, which luckily timed out after 4 weeks. So, okay. Use Threads in the wrong geography and you can't use it for another 4 weeks. How is that going to help?
That's not going to help. Yeah, well. So, I'm also on at Mastodon and Blue Sky right now, but I'm missing the one place to be thing where all the discussions
happen. All I hear from the Mastodon users and so on is applaudable, the background is the approaches, right? It's just not enough connectivity, right? It doesn't stale and you don't get all the content, right? So, there's a significant lead from X over that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay,
I think
that was it, right? Here you had it, the roundup of what happened in SAP in the last 3-4 months. Sorry, since August, I think, last time we spoke. We'll promise, as always, to be better in Q1. And thank you so much for being my partner in crime here, Martin.
Thank you, Holger. And have a good Christmas time and a good start of the
new Happy holidays to everybody. Thanks to the people who stayed so long and listened to us. Thanks for watching. Hey, be social, right? Use Twitter or whatever. Something that we can see. Tell us where we missed something, what we should differently, what we should talk about. Open for suggestions as well. Appreciate it. Thanks for watching.
Thank you. Bye-bye.